Tireway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Chof Hei Nisan, the 7th of April, Harav Gedalia, Guten Tag Shlita, Sfiras Hoimer. This week's Tireway Shurim have been sponsored Leah Nishmas Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi, Ben Reb Avrom Itzkovich, Zichron Levrocha. Today is the 7th Yortzeit of Reb Shimon Itzkovich, Zichron Levrocha, the father of Tireway's incredible organizer Reb Dudi, who should be Zoicha. To Arichas Yomim, Vishonim, Toivus, Mitoch Brios Haguf, Varnefesh, Admea Vesrim Shono.
So, good morning, everybody, those who are here and those who are virtually here. Louder. Okay. So, 150 years ago, the Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim Tzanzer, Reb Chaim Halberstam, Got up in the outside, you said?
Today's the outside.
Okay, there you have it. Straight out. Okay, so the Divrei Chaim got up and said something which I think to modern ears sounds surprising. He said, it was a beginner, the founder of a Hasidic dynasty, and he gave out brachas, and he said, I give a special bracha to any woman who doesn't shake Arba Minim and doesn't sit in the sukkah, right? He said, I'm going to give a special here. A woman doesn't do these mitzvahs is going to get special children, etc. Which obviously to modern ears, or to any ears, sounds unusual. What's wrong with a woman doing a mitzvah? What possible problem could there be? So that particular little anecdote has brought him his great, anyone who knows the mishpachology of the Tzanz dynasty could help me over here, but it's probably his great grandson, who's the Divrei Yatziv, who was Rabbi Chasilio de Halberstam, otherwise known to posterity as the Klosenberg Rebbe of Union City and Laniado Hospital in Netanya, and he actually uses this as a way to frame. He writes a tshuva based on this on the subject of mitzvah saseh shatzman geromo. This is the particular aspect, a very surprising thing. How can it be a mitzvah saseh shatzman geromo, mitzvahs which are positive mitzvahs which are time bound? How can it be that there should be any problem with a woman doing them, etc., etc.? So he discusses at length why it should be, and just in short, he suggests that the reason is because it's in that particular case, it's not so advisable to get yourself into any suffic brachas that may apply. Because it's a mitzvah, obviously, there's a machlokes whether a woman should be doing, whether someone who's not obligated in mitzvahs, whether she makes a bracha on those mitzvahs, and therefore, etc., etc. It goes along the billboard. Just, it's a very striking illustration of the fact that what we assume that, yes, everyone does, women do all the mitzvahs, etc., as many mitzvahs they're doing, it's not so simple, therefore, that everything we see done around us is perhaps as straightforward as we assume. But that's, as I say, by way of introduction to a topic which is essentially our topic here is I've been pressed to the wall at 0 hour, in which I was said you finally have to give a topic, right? Better late than never. The topic, therefore, is Sfiras Omer, and I want to share a couple of points related to this particular aspect of Mitzvah Seish HaTzman Geromo, one particular point that occurred to me about the connection between Pesach and Shavuos as it regards perhaps in Divrei Agada. Just a thought that I had. So where are we going with this? Look, the origins of all of this, well known, the Gemara, the Mishnah and Kiddushin tells us the beginning of this sugya. Mishnah and Kiddushin call Mitzvah Seish HaTzman Geromo Anoshim Chayovim. More straightforward in the sense that it says, we all know that the black and whites of this sugya are very clear. There are many mitzvahs that are zman geroma, that depend on time. Right? And the Gemara there, Lamed Gimel says, Ezeo mitzvah seisha zman geroma. What are the mitzvahs that are particularly time bound? Sukkah v'luluv shofar tzitzis tefillin. Ezeo mitzvah seisha lo zman geroma. He says, Mezuzah, Ma'ke, Aved, Shiloh, Chakam. The Gemara lists there those things that are obviously putting up a Ma'ke It doesn't help you if it's not, you know, if someone wanders up to the roof during the night, you need to have a fence there, just like during the day. Shiluach HaKan can happen anytime, returning an Aveda, etc., etc. The self-explanatory. And the Gemara eventually concludes that the source of all of this is from Talmud Torah via Tefillin. Talmud Torah, we know, is limited. And so women don't have the same obligation in Limud HaTorah. And by way of Talmud Torah, we get to Tefillin, because Tefillin is with the Hekesh, and therefore Tefillin is obviously an archetype of something in which it's mitzaseh shahazman garamim, which has got to do with a particular time. So that's where the Gemara is getting it from, and obviously this Reb Chaim Tzanza was saying that it was the Reb Chaim Tzanza, I believe there's another Reb Chaim Tzanza, so I think it's more correct called Divrei Chaim. So what he was saying was that it has to do with this, obviously machlokes about sofik brachos, whether mitzvah seishas magaroma, a woman who does choose to do one of those mitzvahs, should be making a bracha. That's why it's not so straightforward. So, just by the way, as someone who's been involved in Kirov, this is obviously this is the whole topic of Mitzasei Shazman Garama. It's particular that women may or do have less mitzvahs than men is obviously a very is something that you're going to come across all the time, and the sources that talk about it, a couple of them, let's say. The first one that's quoted is why particularly women should have any less mitzvahs than men. The Abu Dhram, it was the Talmud of the Rosh, says something which is, which is going to cause you in a Kirov setting, is going to cause you as many problems as it solves. But Torahi, and so it's important. The Abu Dhram says, he says that the woman is meshubat to her husband, right? Woman is meshubat to her husband, and he says basically it's going to cause a clash if you give the women as many mitzvahs as men. It's going to cause a clash between. He says. Only he says that right? So she's meant to be she bring me my Turkish slippers, right? When she's davening, when she's shaking the lulav, he says if she says no, I've got to finish shaking the lulav. Oyla mi balo. Intas mitzvosa v'tanech mitzvaber. Oyla mi yotzra. Lefikach pacha atara. Therefore, abayra mi mitzvos k'tei liyas shalom im balo. So this is pure shalom bias. As I say, if you get up and say the source, it's a great one. It's one of the Rishonim. But it's perhaps. I think it needs a certain amount of rephrasing for modern sensibilities. Although that's Torah, that's true. It's absolutely true. Ramosha, this Tshuva Ramosha discusses this, and he says in his elegant way, he says that he says a beautiful thing that women have got a mutal gidulei elodah my elodah she melocha yos chashuv la Hashem yisrach la Torah. He says that who else, that the most important thing in the Bria, the most important thing in the Torah is raising children, and therefore pretty much along the lines of the Abu Dhram, therefore the Torah says that they don't have the same chiyuv of limud haTorah and mitzvah seishas magaroma because they're doing amongst their more important thing, etc., etc. And the final thing, if you're there on the Kirov circuit, something that's quoted often and sounds like pure apologetics, modern apologetics. I don't know if you've ever heard this one. The idea that mitzvah seishas magaroma, women don't need as many mitzvahs, right? That's something, women don't need as many mitzvahs because they're more spiritually capable. That's something that is often said. And as I said, it sounds like just pure apologetics in which, you know, it's a convenient thing to say, but it does have a source. And the truth is, it has a wonderful source, none other than Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is worth knowing, says that, he says, he says, it's not because women have less of a need, are not as spiritually capable, rather, it's the other way around. He says, this is the Hebrew translation of the German, they don't need, women don't need these mitzvahs. And he says a very beautiful hagdara, and this is very useful to understand the side, the machshava mitzvah seish atzman grama. He says, look at all the mitzvah seish atzman grama. You talk about shofar, you're talking about sukkah and lulav and tefillin. They're all there. And this is al pi derech Rav Hirsch, that it's there to educate us about particular things. They're to remind us of a particular yisoid in Yiddishkeit. Right? We get up in the morning, we're meant to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the tefillin, once a year, a person's meant to remember sitting in the sukkah. It's meant to educate you. The mitzvah is meant to educate you about a particular thing. And he says, therefore, those particular reinforcements, whether it's daily or whether it's monthly or whether it's yearly, those particular reinforcements of the sedus of the Torah, women do not need that. And that's what he's very, very clear about. Women just don't need those things. They're perhaps more connected to the ideas. They don't need that constant reminder. And that is, therefore, non-apologetics. It's straight out Divrei Elokim Chaim from Rav Hirsch. Therefore, that's the Kirov seminar aspect of mitzvah seish atzman grama. But getting back to more halachic aspects of Sfiras Ha'omer, mitzvah seish atzman grama, dive straight into Sfiras Ha'omer on this particular point over here. And the reason we come to Sfiras Ha'omer is obviously in Yonah Dioma, but there's a particular issue there. Because Sfiras Ha'omer is one of these mitzvahs that on the one hand, it should be a pure mitzvah seish atzman grama. Right? There seems to be it's not every day, it's a particular thing, it's got a particular time, why should it not be? So the mekor that it's not is the Ramban. The Ramban then, Kiddushin, widely quoted, the Ramban there on the Gemara there says that the klalahu is it an absolute hard and fast rule what the Gemara has said there that mitzvah seish atzman grama includes tefillin and lulav etc. Mitzvah seish lo atzman grama includes makeh, other things like this. But klalahu is that the end of the list? The Gemara wants to know. The Gemara list is lots of others. The Gemara said tana v'shia, that it's a typical answer the Gemara gives. It says obviously it's a non-exhaustive list. So the Gemara, so the Ramban. The Ramban, Chiddush Ramban there, says the following thing. He says, Hatanashir Tuva. And then he goes on to list what he says. He goes on to list many more. He says, Moira of a Kibbut, right, which is a Kibbut Av Aim, etc. Moira Aim, Kibbut Av, etc. Those are things that apply lots of all the time. Bikurim, right? He says, Bikurim is Mitzaseh. So that's already a warning sign, because Bikurim is surely linked to a particular time of year. Chala, I don't think Chala is so controversial. You know, what do you say? So the Gemara says the Mishnah talks about, so it comes in later. That's, you're right, and that's part of the answer over here. Correct. So the Mishnah says Chala, I think, is non-controversial. Right. We have a. Whether it's, I don't know if you can move the Shabbos project, right? I remember the Shabbos project was moved, and so they moved the Chalabik. So we see it's Ein Azman Garama. And Kisei Adam, anytime Rishi Sagez, Ramban says, Matonis and Matmat Guna. And he says, Sfiras Ha'omer. Sfiras Ha'omer is right up there, starring in the list of Ein Azman Garama. Prika Tiina. Yeah, if you see someone broken down on the M1, you've got to help him unload his donkey. And Pidni Petach Hamor, and then he finishes Rov Mitzvahs again. Most mitzvahs are mitzvahs seish ein atzman grama. Ad kan l'shon Ramban. And so obviously you have there the two sticking out of the sore thumb, which is Sfiras Ha'omer and Bikurim. How can it be that they are ein atzman grama? Where does that go over there? And obviously, I think back here we have the chinuch in Shinvav. Mitzvah Shinvav says that. The Chinuch Mitzvah Shinvav says that Sfiras Ha'omer, Losh, I don't have it in front of me, Losh, he says Sfiras Ha'omer is Doraisa, V'Noeg, or Noeg, whatever he says, V'Zacharim, right, etc., as he says, so which pretty much is, which shouldn't raise any eyebrows, because Sfiras Ha'omer ought to be considered pure Mitzvah Seish Hazman Garama. And therefore, Tzarchin on the Ramban, why indeed it's he would include that. So I think the starting point is for answering that is Bikurim itself. Bikurim, the Mishnah Bikurim says that the reason a woman is not obligated, this is the Perikat of Bikurim over there, the reason a woman is not obligated in Bikurim is because she can't say the Nusach, right? The Nusach is the Arz Hashem Osatali, and women do not, they're not given the same Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, though, because the question that Acharonim asked there, is why indeed you need the commission need to come on to that? Why need to come on to the fact that it says it's that the technicality, they can't say this Eretz Hashem Osatali? Why indeed it should be Tepuk Lei because of they can't do Bikurim because it's got to do with the particular time of year. So already they have the Rav Kiveiga over there answers based on the Shagasari, the Turi Evan. Turi Evan says the aside, and that's really the aside that I think is just such a neat Hagdara which answers many things over here in Mitzvah Aseh Shazman Garoma. He says the definition of Mitzvah Aseh Shazman Garoma is very literal. It's got to be that the Zman is Goyrim. Only the Zman is Goyrim. And that means like this, that if it doesn't speak it out this way, but I think there's one way to understand it. That if you have Sukkah might be the easiest way to understand such a thing. Sukkah, is there any particular reason with Sukkah? So we understand it's got to do with the... Yes, an Aniyah Kavod, not an Aniyah Kavod, but by and large, the whole message of Sukkah, so you could have done another time of the year, right? And yet comes along the Torah and says, no, don't do it in the Hanukkah time, or don't do it at Pesach time, whatever it is you want to do it at Sukkah's time. So what do we see? The fact that it's this particular time of year was the Zman was Goyrem. The particular time of the year was Goyrem. In other words, for whatever reason, that the Torah says that the particular hashpah of this mitzvah should be at this time. That's what it means, Zman Goroma. That only the Zman is Goyrim. But if there's a secondary reason that you shouldn't do it, that it's at this particular time, technical reason, some other reason, right? And the Zman is not, therefore it's not considered directly the Zman Goroma. And so the Torah Evan says that ultimately the reason that Bikurim he says that Bikurim is not happening at this time of the reason that it has to happen at this time of year. So Bikurim is technically when the new crop causes you simcha, right? When you have a new crop in the field, the zman of simcha. So that is the primary reason why you're bringing the Bikurim at this time of year. You bring it because now is the time of simcha. So it happens to be that it comes out at a particular time of year. Happens to be it comes at a particular time of year, but that's not the primary reason. The primary reason is Simcha. And therefore, it's not true to say that the Zman is Goyrim. It's not true to say that the Zman, that there's a Chveis, that there's a particular Hashbah of that the Torah is saying of a particular thing. It's a technical outgrowth of the fact that you need to, of the fact that Bikurim need to happen such a thing this time. Based on that, this is a fairly assumed many. This is many make this a Tushdel. Based on this idea again that Zman Goroma means that it's a pure, that there's literally no other reason you can think of, no technical outside reason which should happen. The Zman is Goyrim, the Zman and only the Zman is Goyrim. Based on that, the Divrei Chezkel, right? I think we talked about the Tzan's dynasty, right? So not the Tzan's dynasty. Who's the Divrei Chezkel in that? Who was the son of?
Who was the
Tzanzerot. Right. So by way of. Matt, this is not that Divrei Chezkel. It's Divrei Chezkel Slabodka. It was Divrei Chezkel Burstein, who's on the Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka before the war, and who seems to have fulfilled a function in the Olam HaYeshivas of his words, his chidushim served as for many Rosh Hashivas as a starting point, a way to help prepare shiurim. So he's often widely quoted, and he says he builds on it a similar thing. Instead, uses the answer, so did the Torah Evan uses to answer the other part of the Ramban. Why Sfirasa Omer is not considered to be is Zman Goromo? And he says, I think it's a very very nice pshat. He says, why is it? It's not that particularly that the Torah says in Tezayin Nisan, then you should start counting the Omer. It doesn't say that. It's Mimochas HaShabbos, right? It depends on the Korban Omer. If the Korban Omer 10 days later, 10 days earlier, right, then it would be a different time for Sfirasa Omer. So in other words, the same side. Technically speaking, there's a technical reason why every day, every year, it's that particular day, because of the Korban Omer. But the Korban Omer is the primary reason, and therefore indirectly, that's why you end up with Sfirasa Omer at that particular time. And that therefore is a yishuv, therefore of the Torah Evan, the Rechezkel, on why it on this Ramban, why Bikurim, both Bikurim and Sfirasa Omer are not considered to be a mitzvah seisha zman goromo. Obviously, as I say, other Rishonim chalek on that, but that's a very nice svar.
That's only if you're looking forwards from the beginning of Sfirasa Omer to the end.
Yeah.
If you look backwards, the Torah said you have to count 49 days v'kafta mincha chadosha. So if you count backwards from Shavuos, you have got a fixed date.
Yeah, but how do you know where to, again, you're right, if you go backwards, but the Torah says, it's Mimochra Sashabas. In other words, the trigger, if you didn't have the Luyutsu, you didn't have that trigger of the Korban Omer, then you wouldn't, then, what you're saying is that, since you're counting, you end up at a fixed point.
You've got to start 49 days before Shavuos.
Nobody suggests that these things aren't connected, right? There's the technicality is, in other words, the date doesn't say it's a different thing. I mean, and a related issue is Kiddush Levona. There's a related aside, therefore, is Kiddush Levona, women of Kiddush Levona. I mean, there's so many related things. This is it's such an enormous and big topic over here. But a related thing is Zmogen Avraham says that women that do Kiddush Levona, he says because of the Zmogen Avraham and Hakdoma Tafimavav, Nashim Turis and Kiddush Levona, Zmag Garamavu. Right, he says it's Zman Goromo, and then he says that, and even though women do many mitzvahs, the mitzvah says Shazmar, then he says another thing. To quote the Shlai, says Mekomak mitzvahs who emikaimin shehim goromu pagam halavana. Right, so there's another one. So they were goring this particular thing, and the tzarchim there that's on the words of the Mogen Avraham as raised by the Chachma Shloima. The Chachma Shlomo, Shlomo Kluger, says that it's that how can it be Zman Goromo? Hare, he says that it's a physical, it's a related issue. The reason you're not performing Kiddush Levana once a week or once a day is practically there. It's a physical manifestation. It happens to be that the Levana b'chidusha is only once a month, right? So how can the Mogen? What do you say? That's a Zman Goromo. He says no. The Chochmah Shlomo says he can't understand it. He says in Kain have a minyas abrocha she'in kan guf hadavah levarach alav v'loy mikoyach hazman. Then he said he compares a very interesting thing. Hamamash halavana chodesh b'chodesha kiperish shoshana. He says it's like a fruit. He says it's like a fruit that appears once a year. Chavez, you have a fruit that comes and make a shachiyonu. He says, oh, is a person going to say that the fact that the fruit only comes once a year, twice a year, whatever it is, therefore it's considered to be mitzvah seisha zman goromo. It's connected to zman? Of course not. It happens to be where there's the absence of the physical, that thing only physically comes into the world. It's not got to do with the din. It sounds like a great tiny Ramosha. Ramosha doesn't like that. He says no. He says, Mogen Avraham could be correct. He says, mitzvah seisha zman goromo. Even if the absence of a physical goyrim of that thing doesn't prevent it being mitzvah seisha zman goromo, rather he says that fruit is a particular thing. The reason you make a bracha on the fruit all the time is because there is no zman for those things. You have a fruit. The fruit in general, you know, you wouldn't know if you go to Tesco, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's actually still seasons for fruits. Incredible, you can see. When it's mango season, right, mango is like 1.5 shekel a kilo, and they're giving them away by the truckload. And then 3 weeks later, it's time for donuts, and there's no mangoes, right? And you have to go to some specialist supermarket in Rojavia to get them, right? And so there is this particular thing that the fruits, there is a particular thing that the absence of a fruit, therefore, Moshe says is he says you can understand the Magen Avraham Svara that it's considered to be, as you say, a zman is goyrem. It happens to be whether it's a mitzvah. In other words, that's related to this. We don't have so much time. In fact, 3 minutes left to go. I just want to share, switch to something very quick. Ha'ar on Sfiris Omer, totally different. Leaving Mr. Sechatz Man Garom behind, the Ramban famously says, the connection between between Pesach and Shavuos is like the days of Sfira are like a Cholamoid in between, right? And it's famously like you have the first day of Sukkot, and they have Shemini Atzeres in between Cholamoid. So therefore, Pesach and Shavuos belong together to the extent that the Pesach Shavuos, the Cheres of Torah, is the completion, therefore, of the Cheres of Yetzias Mitzrayim. To the extent that in between, it's considered to be one in Chol HaMoed. And it just occurred to me. It's almost one of these things that are so obvious, but they need to be brought out. It occurred to me. So if so, why was it not like that? Meaning, so we should have gone out of Mitzrayim, Shusha Pesach Kriyas Yam Suf, and therefore, without any hachana, go straight into Kabbalah Sotar. And Taka have Shmini Atzeres. You would have had Kabbalah Sotar right next. Obviously, there was some inyan of a hachana between them, and that's why I needed a gap. But as I say, it's in a certain way worth speaking out what that is. And I believe that in Maariv say by Yotzeis Ama Yisrael Mitoicham, the Tefillah say L'Cheres Olam. Hashem took us out. Yotzeis Yisrael is L'Cheres Olam, and it sounds a partial thing. Torah is Cheres. And yet, as we say, as it says in Pirkei Avos, it says, "Ein lecha ben chorin misha ois b'tamut Torah." But I believe that the reason that it wasn't, again, it wasn't a physical. Hashem could have, as Chaman Kan finisharim, Hashem could have taken us out 20 minutes later, be at Mamet Har Sinai. Why was it that this particular needed to be a particular hachana of 7 weeks, in which the Ramban terms a Chol HaMoed? Why indeed couldn't it have happened straight away? And I believe the side is, again, because there's a tension between the idea of Cheres Olam and the way that we experience our Cheres. In other words, the Torah comes along and it says to us, there's a Cheres, right? Torah is, come and learn Torah, that's the Torah is Cheres. But Hargosha of that is that it's not, right? There's no greater Shibud than Torah mitzvahs. There is no greater shibud, as we saw before, that would drown. There's no, it's either one or the other. Who you serve? Who's the master here? A few weeks ago, I found myself in Chav Chazanish number 5 in which is where Rav Shteyman used to live, and I knocked on the door of old Robertson Yisraelson. She was Rabbi Yashiv's daughter, and she's a fascinating lady to talk to. Just talk about, she's telling me when she was growing up, the thing that they heard most in their house was, shh, the tatelent, shh, the tatelent. That's what she said. That was the sound of her childhood. And she said, and it was fascinating to hear about Rabbi Yashiv. He said, he just sat and learned for 100 years. In other words, we know that, but when you hear that from a daughter, he said, there was nothing else. And why am I saying that? The aside is that you can only do such a thing. You can only do such a thing when you have a sense that it is Cheres Olam, that Limud HaTorah is ultimately the Cheres. That means when it's something that it says in Pirkei Avos, but it's a difficult thing, then you can't learn for 100 years straight. It just doesn't work, right? Because your sense of Cheres is, I want to be free. But to learn in such a way is for 100 years straight in such a way is because Rabbi Yashiv felt that he lived that was Peshuto, that was the Cheres, that was the unbelievable thing, and so I think that's a very positive thing. As I say, it's almost one of these things that you just have to bring out, but is obvious in and of itself that the reason why that Hashem had to do this hachana. Why in Sukkot? Why in Sukkot did you not have this thing? Basically, there was 7 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. 7 days later, as hachana for the inyan of Shmini Atzeret. Because the basic idea of Sukkot Shmini Atzeret, which is the closeness of Hakadosh, which is emunah, right? Living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is in a way a closer idea to us than the core idea of Pesach, which is Chayrus, right? And therefore, there's no way we can go straight from Pesach to Shavuos without the Hachana itself, because the idea of Chayrus Olam, that is essentially really is a Chayrus, is something that is either you have it from age 10, like Rav Liashiv, that he could learn like that, or it's a void of a lifetime, and that's why particularly there is a gap between Pesach and Shavuos. Good.